who'd like to score $10? Who'd like to score $50? Who could spell my last name without looking at anything? What's your name? Simon. Simon. Come on, Simon.
VONBLANKESEE.
So close, so close. BLANCKENSEE. $50, who can ever guess my middle name, apart from anyone who's here from Gateway. Prophetic word? Roger. No. Anyone who'd like a prophetic word from Penny, is it? Just think again. It is a privilege to be here. Thank you to Pastor Dave and to Alex. Where is Alex? Doesn't she come to church? Sheesh. Kids church. We should... No, we won't. Middle name. What would you... What if you're a German, von Blankensee, a good Kraut. My mother's maiden name is Grosskopf, so I am totally Kraut, both sides of the family. So Friedrich would be the name that would be a good bet for $50. So bad luck you didn't get it. Okay, well, who's been serving in the life of the church? This is not the message. This is just so you get to know me. You think, will I listen to him or not? But who's been serving in the church for, say, like a long time, over 20 years? Can I get you guys to stand up? Anyone who's been serving in the church, in church life, for over 20 years? Over 20 years. Some of you started when you were two by the looks of it. Can we give these guys a hand and honour these guys? What an incredible... Stay standing. Stay standing. Not an obedient lot, are they? Okay, we'll get there. We need to honour the people who have served and built foundations in the life of the church. And they've gone before us, but they're not gone. So don't ever treat these people as gone. They've just gone before us. But if I can just, as well as honouring you guys, can I just, Matthew 20. Matthew 20, for the first, say, 10 verses of Matthew 20. Don't look at it now. But if I can get you to read that, because there is a risk. In Matthew 20, it talks about, that Jesus talked about the guys that went and served in a vineyard. And he told the story about the estate owner coming. And he said, you know, we employed you guys at the beginning of the day. And then we employed other people during the day. The people who are at greater risk of feeling like they're entitled to more were those who started the earliest in the day. Those who had been serving the longer had this attitude like, I'm entitled to more. So those who have been serving longer have greater risk to go, hey, I deserve. Where's my car park out the front? Hey, where's my padded seat? I deserve to be respected. I deserve to be honoured. I deserve a whole lot more than you young blokes. You young guys, you young fellas, we deserve more. And you just got to watch that. You've got to watch that because there's a risk that we think that, hey, I've been doing this a while now, you should treat me a certain way. God, you better be doing this for me because I've been doing you a favour by coming to church for all this buffle you have. You should never do God a favour. What have we got? What do we owe God? What does God owe us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you can sit down now. But just that was just both an honour and a slap at the same time. Just to... My wife, Deanne, we've been married in 2 weeks' time for 26 years. So I tell you what a... What a good deal that is. Where's all the people who've been... I want to talk to you this morning about what voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? We've been in Devonport now just over 12 months, so for about 14, 15 months. Now, before that, Deanne and I, we're married, same wife, one wife, two kids, good ratio to have and to keep. We were in Alice Springs for 6 years before we were in Devonport. And I remember one day, you know, just being in the church, we're doing something, and through the foyer doors, this Aboriginal lady came in the door, and I could see her walking down the drive, and just holding her head, both hands, just holding her head, hands over her ears. And she came into the foyer, and she was like very, very distraught, which is not an unusual sign, things to happen in Alice Springs like that. But she came in, and she was like very, very distraught and concerned. She said, "Can you get rid of these voices? I need to get rid of these voices." So I sat her down, and she had all these voices in her head. She was found out that she was one of seven children. She was only, it's hard to tell the age of Aboriginal people in Alice Springs. She looked like she was about 70. I think she was in her 40s. Though it's not the age, it's the mileage. And but she was there, and we're talking to her, and one of seven, she's one of seven kids, and she had seen each of her other six siblings die. So if you just think that's just in itself, but the way that they died, again, incredibly, incredibly sad. And so she'd seen that. And these voices in her head were saying, were her brothers and her sisters saying, "Come over to this side. Come over from life. Do yourself in. Kill yourself and come over and join us." And the family ties are incredibly, incredibly strong in Aboriginal culture. And she was this big pull of like going to and to kill herself, to do herself in, to be with her relatives that had already died, her brothers and sisters. And she was fighting this because she didn't want to, you know, she'd been around church life for a little bit and knew that, you know, that there was a life that was here, but, you know, the pull and the voices, and she was just wanting to get rid of these tormenting voices in her head. You may not have those sort of tormenting voices in your head, but you do have voices in your head. How do we know? What do we listen to? What voices are you listening to? Where's the who's the head? Do you call them usher, care team, person, service manager? Ooh. Who's the service manager today? Peter. Peter's counting money. Where's Peter? Can we get him? Or is it sort of a vaulted room? What I want to do, Peter, can you bring those offering buckets back out? Because we've already taken up one offering. We're going to take up an offering at the end for Youth Alive, I've just heard. But what I'd like to do is take up an offering for Pastor Dave and Alex. Who thinks that would be a good idea? I can tell you right now, there's three people who thought that was a good idea. And so we've got the buckets. Cool. Okay, just hold them right there. I can tell you there is a voice going on in your head right now. Dave's going, "What the heck is he doing?" Deanne going, "What are you doing?" But there's voices going on in your head right now to go and, "Stink, we've already taken up one offering. I told you they were just after my money." There's a voice in your head going, "They're just after my money." There's another voice that could be there going, "Why give it to them? They're loaded already. They've been to Hillsong every year. They're loaded. They don't need the money. Look at his new leather jacket that he had on. He doesn't need the money." There's another voice going on your head in the sense of, "We could be giving it to the poor, not them, not them." There's another voice going to this crowd over here, especially if we give them the money in the offering, we're not going to get to lunch. There's another voice inside someone's head going, "I'm glad I left the wallet in the car." You already listened to a voice before you even got in here to go, "I'm not even bringing my wallet in here." See, we all listen to voices. We're not going to take up the offering, so if you guys got to get back to... Maybe someone can follow that up for next week, though. But there's voices going on in your head. See, some of you people here would have thought, what a fantastic idea. What a great idea to bless our leaders. Cool, that's fantastic. See, we all have voices going on in our head. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about what voice are you listening to? If you heard a voice in your head this morning to go sell your house, I want you to go to Africa. Or I want you to sell your house. I want you to sell your house or your car. Who's got a house here? Who's got a car? And no one's game to put up their hand now. If I said, sell your car, send the donation to either Youth Alive or the Compassion deal. That Compassion, what a great deal. Why don't we all sell our cars and send the money there? There would be a voice going on in your head going, that's silly. That's not sensible. That's not a sensible thing to do, to sell the house and give all that money away. That's not sensible. We got to look after our kids. We were told when we left Queensland to go to Alice Springs, that's not a sensible idea. You'll get forgotten out there in the desert. You'll die out there in the desert. Well, basically, that's what... And I'm not talking about... I'm talking about leaders, spiritual leaders that I honored and went, okay, what do you think about this? And their voice to me was like, no, that's a silly idea. That's not sensible at all. You've got kids. When we left Alice Springs to come to Tassie, our son, Brendan, was in year 12, 6 months into 5 months in to his final year at school. And we thought, we've got to go to Tassie. That's not sensible. That's silly to do that. So what voice would you listen to? We're just going to listen to the sensible voice. I reckon, would this church be here today if people listened to a sensible voice? Here's another, as a church, I've got no idea what happens down here in Hobart yet, if this voice came to this church and went, you need to plant a church in Glenorchy. I don't even know if there is a church. But when I was praying for you guys, I just praying, well, God, what? So here's a thought. Plant a church in Glenorchy. Is there a church in Glenorchy? Yes. There is? Well, there you go. Maybe some of you need to join it. Dave's voice right now in his head's going, get him off. But if there was this wherever that needs another church, would we leave the comfort and convenience of what we have here to go and launch out into the deep, into something new? Would we do it? We've got to keep this base strong. Let's just keep what we've got here. Let's contain what we have. What voice are you listening to? If you turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I still use the paper version of the Bible, unlike Pastor Dave. Only because I can't work it out yet, so it's not anything else, but I'm not clever enough. I wonder if you have a voice in your head that says you need to forgive somebody. And there's another voice going, no, they deserve to be held and isolated and held at a distance. They don't deserve I'm justified in not forgiving them. You know, the people have voices in their head. If there's no absolutes in the world, people have just got the voices in their head, just sleep with them. Just steal that. Just take that. The voices that are, again, raging in people's head come from, you know, from advertising. Does Homer Simpson speak to you and your work ethic? Does Bart Simpson speak to your kids? Ooh, don't go there. I wonder if the voice of desperate housewives is shaping your morals. I wonder if the footy commentators or the players' voice is shaping your values. Hope and Harvey Norman, buy now and pay for it later, aren't shaping your financial decisions. Mark chapter 3. I found that the lights here in Tasmania are very bad. Since I've got to be in my 40s, the lights have got very bad. It says in verse 20 of Mark chapter 3, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, when Jesus returned to the house where he was staying, the crowds began to gather again, and soon he and his disciples couldn't even find time to eat. The young adults group, read that. Couldn't find time to eat. When his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him home with them. He's out of his mind, they said. But the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, he's possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons. And then if we just head over to verse 31, it says, Jesus' mother and brothers arrived at the house where he was teaching. They stood outside and sent for him to come and talk with them. There was a crowd around Jesus, and someone said, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. Verse 33, Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked at those around him and said, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. So what they were saying, Jesus was in the house and these guys were so busy, they weren't getting time to eat. And Jesus' family were around and saying, basically they were saying, you need to come home with us, Johnny. Johnny, you need to come home with us. You're out of your mind. And what they were saying is that what you're doing is silly. What you're doing is extreme. And the voice that came to Jesus was, come home with me. Settle down, be sensible, keep the status quo. People have been telling that to Jesus for centuries now. And telling that to his church for centuries now. Telling that to his followers for centuries now. Be sensible. Settle down. Keep the status quo. The religious leaders went one step further and said, that's not God. That's not God. Taking up more than one offering on a Sunday, that's not God. That's the devil. Starting new churches around the place, that's not God. Selling your house, moving somewhere when you've got kids, that's not God. That's the devil. Settle down. Be sensible. Keep the status quo. And the world, the voice of the world, has been telling that to the church for centuries. And I don't think any more than today. Why does the media get so ticked off at places like Hillsong? Because they're not settling down. They're not keeping the status quo. They're not being sensible. The world has no problem with the church when there's three or four little old ladies in the church. They're quiet, they're poor, they're ineffective, they're powerless. That's the settle down. That's the status quo. But to rise above and have a church to rise above that settling down, above the status quo of what the world would say, then they're saying, be quiet. That's not right. That doesn't fit. But unfortunately, so many churches... When I talk about church, the church is us, the people. We've listened to the voices that have told us to settle down. And we have. Why don't we just make it comfortable for everyone on a Sunday? Don't do missions. Let's just look after ourselves here. That's what we need to do. So what voice are you listening 2. I just want to do a few voices that may come into the equation really quickly. The voice of feelings. The voice of feelings is a voice that you can listen to. The thing is that feelings go up and down depending on the weather, the circumstances, the time of the month, the footy results, the mail, the how people treat you. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah's feelings were dictated to him, and he listened to the voice of his feelings. He was tired and believed the voice that I'm the only one who is holy. Everybody else is against me. I'm the only one. The voice of tired. You, as a church, could well be justified right now to being tired. What an incredibly, incredibly impacting impact conference. It was awesome. And as a church as a whole, you should feel very like, put your chest out, shoulders back, head up. You have done the church in Tassie a great service by doing what you did. And you, again, you may not see the results or the fruit of that ever. But as a church, that will be credited to your account. So like you can be very, very proud and very, very like pleased at what you did. But what you be careful of now is don't listen to the voice of tired. The voice of tired is this guy, let's take the rest of the year off. I don't care what Dave and Alex decide to do. The rest of the year, I'm sliding down till Christmas. I reckon that we took a vote right now. Let's go to one service a month. Bang, we voted in. Beware the Kit Kat man. The voice that says, take a break, take a break. See, it's okay to take a break. The first step is because there's seasons in our life that we just need to pull back at from time to time. And it's okay to take a step back at times. The incredibly dangerous part is where's the next direction of the next step? Because if the next direction of the next step is back again, then the next direction of the next step is back again. Before you know it, you're over a cliff. The voice of tired. Feelings may say, well, I don't feel like I love my wife anymore. I think I'll get a new one. That's what feelings say. If you've been married for more than 2 years. Well, let me put it with you. If you've been married for more than a couple of fights, if you've been married for more than a couple of kids, that their feelings will change. But you can listen to the voice of feelings to go, cool, I'm going to get myself a new one because that new one's got to be better. And how many people have walked down that path only to discover that, sheesh, what a mess I've made. I don't know where we've lost the voice, the sense of making a commitment. We stood and made a covenant with each other and before God to say, this is it, death do us part. And there's been times that Deanne's wanted to act on that. But I'm glad she hasn't. Feelings may say I've been hurt before. They used me. Feelings may say I'm not sure if I believe this anymore because I don't feel God anymore. So let's just walk back, walk away. But you can't afford to listen to the voice of your feelings. We can't afford to have our soul in charge. Our spirit. That's what happened when we were born again. Before we were born again, our soul was in charge. Our stomach said, now go and eat that. Our head said, now go and do that. And when we were born again, our spirit became the boss and started going, hey, soul, hui. Now this is the way to do it. This is the way we've got to go. And there's a big fight that then happens going, hey, who put you in charge? Well, God put me in charge. And there's this war going on to say, well, who's in charge now? But if our feelings remain in charge, then it's never going to happen. We're never going to walk the length of this journey that we've been called to, the effectiveness that we've been called to do it. Got to get it. And if you can sort that out as young people, sort it out early, that your soul is no longer in your charge, your spirit is in charge as it submits to God. And then your spirit calls the shots. That's why fasting is good, because it says to your spirit, says to your stomach or your body, hey, we're not eating, but I'm hungry, but we're not eating. I know we've got onto food so much, it must be your guys having lunch. Whether it's responding to accusations, when someone accuses you of something, or you're caving into desires that aren't healthy, whether it be another opportunity to serve somebody. If we go by our feelings, if we went by our feelings, there'd be no one at the front door there this morning. I wonder how many of the worship team would be here this morning playing if it was just by their feelings. Let's feel. Do we feel it? Let's get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock to get here a few hours early to put this together. Are we feeling it? Nah. Are we doing it? Yes. Because they're not dictated by feelings. Why do we do services? Why do we give? Why do we serve? Why do we pray? Why do we worship? Is it because we feel like it? No, because there is a God to be glorified. There is a person to be rescued. There is a promise to be realized. There is a future to be embraced. There is a cause to live for and a return to be ready for. That's why we do it. Okay, it might be the voice of feelings that we can listen to. What about the voice of fear? The voice of fear. The voice of fear says, leave your wallet in the car because you're not going to have any money after church. The voice of fear says, if I tell them the truth, if I tell my wife the truth, it's going to be painful. So just swerve around it. As kids, if I tell my parents the truth, it's going to hurt. So let's avoid that. There's a voice of fear that we don't engage with people at the level that we need to. We see people in our world. We see marriages. We see families. We see people in our world that need to be told the truth in love to help them to get to a better end. But we think, no, if I said that, they might not be my friend anymore. So what's the option? I knew that was going to happen. Oh, I reckon the next time someone says that to you, slap them. You have permission. I reckon there's no worse statement at all anywhere to say, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that that marriage was going to... I knew those kids would turn out like that. What did you do about it? I knew that new person in church was not going to come back because no one spoke to him. Well, you know, it's a recession. We're still in this global recession. You know that on average, the figures that I've got, over $200 million is spent on gambling most weeks in our nation. Fear says, don't even think of it. What if it doesn't work? What will people say? Fear says there is too much to lose. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't give that. Don't serve there. There is too much to lose. There is always a reason why not to do something. Always a reason. And if you go looking for a reason why not to do something, you're never going to do it. I believe there are people here, and as a church of a whole, you are on the edge of something incredibly big. I don't know if it's rolled out to people's hearts yet or it's about to roll out to people's hearts. But this is what I believe this whole message is about this morning. You've got a choice. You've got a choice of what voice you listen to, because it's going to be something that's big, so big it's going to scare people. Normally comes through the leadership of the church. And I don't know, haven't had the opportunity to speak to Dave too much this week. And I don't know what's happening in the hearts of the leadership team. But I believe there's something so big that's going to roll out that it's like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to listen to the voice of our feelings? We're all pretty tired, you know. Let's try it in a few years' time. Listen to the voice of fear. Oh, there's too much to lose. I don't know if we're Are we game to put it all on the line? People may go if we put this out. Maybe business people here that you're on the edge of something big. What voice are you going to listen to? Can we listen to the voice of fear? Adam, Saul, the guy with one talent, all listened to the voice of fear. I was afraid, so I hid. I see Bob Emwich here. I'm so excited about the Live Free Tassie, of the bigness of where they're going. And as a church, we have an opportunity of the churches of Tasmania to get behind Live Free Tassie and to make a huge, as much as we do with Youth Alive. We've got some incredible opportunities, but we can sit on our hands saying, well, it may cost us something. Listen to the voice of your feelings. Listen to the voice of fear. The voice of fear always puts a negative spin on the facts. The voice of fear says, I've got a headache. It's a tumor. It's not a tumor. The voice of fear will go, my husband's late for the second day in a row. He's having an affair. The voice of fear says, if I discipline my kids, they will hate me. That's the voice of fear. Not the voice of the truth. That's the voice of fear. The voice of fear says, my mother died when she was 55, so I'm going to die when I'm 55. The voice of fear. The voice of fear will paralyze you. There's a voice of feelings, there's a voice of fear. There's a voice of past failures. It's no point. Been there, done that, got the scars, got the bruises. I tried praying once, didn't work. I tried being a leader once, didn't work. I tried being a husband, I tried being a father, didn't work. That's it, finished. Stuffing up doesn't disqualify you, giving up does. Peter, David, God used imperfect people. He always has and he always will. You don't qualify if you're perfect. Stand up if you're perfect. Have a look around. All those people at the back are perfect. But yet, how much do we go, I can't tell them that. They'll think I'm not perfect anymore. There is a voice going, I can't be honest and open in my small group. I can't be vulnerable of where my life at. I can't tell people what's happening in my world because they'll think less of me. They'll think I haven't got it all together. They'll think I'm not perfect. Newsflash, they already know. But somewhere in that we get a voice saying, but keep pretending. And we listen to that voice. We've got the voice of the current facts. Well, the fact is, I don't see this working. Our numbers haven't increased. Nothing is changing. Being kind isn't helping. Praying isn't helping. Giving isn't helping. Trusting isn't helping. Programs aren't helping. Nothing seems to be helping. The facts tell us that we should stop. You going to listen to that? See, we just don't get to see the facts that we see it's this much of the whole picture. We just don't see the crack in the rock that is started by hitting it. But if we keep on hitting it and keep on hitting it and keep on hitting it, then bang, it splits open. But not from the last hit, from all the ones that have previously gone before that. There's a voice of factions and feuds. And you know, if you're here and you've got a reputation like people who have got problems with the leadership of this church come to you to talk to you about it. You've got to ask yourself the why. Why are they coming to me? Why am I attracting all these people who want to have a whinge about the leadership in the church? Just a simple lesson from the prodigal son parable. The older brother spoke about the younger brother. the Father spoke to? Are we speaking about or are we speaking to? If you ever find yourself speaking about people, just wind back. Ask them, why don't we speak to that person? Why don't you, if you go, hey, you already know that Dave's not perfect. He knows it. That's what I like about him. So if someone's got something that in a sense of, hey, this is not happening well within the life of the church, say, come on, why don't we now come and talk to the leadership of the church rather than speaking about the leadership of the church? So there's a voice of all those, voice of current facts, voice of feud and factions, a voice of your family and friends. And we've pretty much gone there. Matthew 13:55 says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't go around getting all spiritual on us, Jesus. Be sensible, settle down, keep the status quo. See, it still amazes me that people find out about God and have built their internal eternal destinies on what me mate Bob at the pub reckons. Or what Auntie Edna said rather than what the Word of God says. Whose voice are you listening to? If you got a package in the mail that was postmarked from Afghanistan and the sender was O.B. Laden and it ticked, would you open it? Check the address of your thoughts. Check the address of your feelings. Check the address of the voices before you spend time unpacking them. Is this the voice from heaven? Is this the voice from a father? Will this thought and this voice lead to life? Will it enhance my journey? Will it enhance other people's journey? Okay, what voice did Jesus listen to? What voice should we listen to? The voice of the Father. That's the voice that we should be listening to, the voice of the Father. What does the Father say? Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. If I can have the team to come up, back up, thanks. And play something nice. Play something to respond to the message type music. Stop interrupting. Listen. You're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Value, acceptance, favor, love. You've been bought with a price. You're accepted and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Matthew 11, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I'll restore your soul, God says. What did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn you. So we don't serve a God who condemns. And I tell you, the biggest sin in the whole wide world is this, that we misrepresent a God who loves. And we've been pointing the finger, the church has been pointing the finger for way too many centuries. And we've misrepresented a God who says, I'm not pointing the finger at you. I've actually said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sin's not the issue. Distance is. Sin's not the issue anymore. It's just your willingness to surrender to this king of this kingdom rather than being the king of your own kingdom. See, we have a good news message that the Father is calling you home, that the Father is calling you close. That the Father is not condemning you. They don't spend time in heaven criticizing what clothes you wear. They talk about the possibilities, the potential, the purposes, the plans. They talk about, in heaven, the stories about what can be done through a person who's willing to submit their lives to Christ. The Father is calling you home. He's not wanting to beat you up. He's wanting to hold you close. That's the voice of the Father. Hebrews 3 talks about, listen to my voice. Hebrews 3 and 4 says, please listen to my voice. How do we listen to his voice? Can I say this really simply? Stop multitasking. All you ladies, us blokes have got it down. Stop multitasking. You never have 100% of anyone who's multitasking. They may be there, but they're not there. I don't know how. Have you ever spoken to someone like that? You're speaking to them and you know that not a word you're saying is going anywhere close to their head. Yet when we sit down, if we're going to hear the voice of the Father, when do we listen to the voice of the Father? And if we're trying to listen to the voice of the Father, when do you sit down and have your time with God? Oh, when I'm driving to work, Pastor. When the radio's on, when the traffic's there, I'm having my time with God. You just must be a whole lot better than me. There is something in the Bible that says somewhere, I reckon, that when you pray, why don't you go to your closet? Close the door. Are you a closet prayer? I've got to do that. At our place, there's a place where I pray, and it looks out over the yard and over the mountains. It's beautiful. But if I look out over the yard, what I do is go and pray to God and then go, sheesh, that lawn needs to be mowed. Those weeds need to be pulled out. What's that doing there? Who left that line on the ground? So there's a reason. It is like to close your eyes, to fold your hands. It's not a spiritual reason, it's a practical reason. So you can concentrate on the voice of the Father. What has God been saying to you? What has God been saying to you? To some here, he's been saying, come, I've got an exciting journey, an adventure for you to go on. You just need to surrender. Why don't you give up? You're struggling with doing it yourself. Why don't you surrender and come to the Father? I want to give you an opportunity right now to come to the Father, to leave your sin behind, to leave your shame, to leave your guilt behind, and come to a Father who wants to embrace you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to hold you close and to bring you close, to set you up for an exciting adventure for the rest of your life. If you are here today and you haven't come close to God recently or ever, you can do that afresh right now, today. I want to pray you. I'd love to pray for you. So if you simply raise your hand, I want to pray for you. If you haven't been close to the Father, I'm not even saying, are you saved or not? That's not my job. But what I'm saying, have you been close to the Father? Have you been close enough to the Father to hear his voice? Have you stopped long enough of late? Or have busy just taken over? Feelings just taken over? Failings just taken over? Fear just taken over? I haven't got time to stop. I've got to keep working. I've got to work harder. I've got to study more. Because if I don't keep on doing that, then it's not going to work. Rest, Hebrews 3 and 4 says, rest. If you listen to my voice, you will find rest. Simply raise your hand if that's you. You want to get close to the Father. That's it. Just slip your hands up. Again, we're not perfect. In case someone's looking out the corner of their eyes and thinks, what if they see me raise my hand? They'll think I'm not perfect. Come on, let's be real. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. God, I ask that your spirit would now go as like an arrow into the hearts. God, that would bring, God, that directness. God, it would bring forth life. God, it would dissolve, God, the crustiness of our efforts, of our shame, of our guilt, of our, God, our smallness. It would take away from the feelings in that sense that dictate to us the fear, and they put them in the right places. God, it'd be your voice. It'd be a clear channel for your voice to move to these people right now. Let them hear your voice of welcome, of invite, of belonging, of holding. In Jesus' name. As a church, can I just encourage you so much? Please, please, the best thing you can do is listen to the voice of the Father. What has God been talking to you about? And what are you doing with what God has been talking to you about? Get with other people and say, this is what I feel God's been talking to me about, but I'm so scared, it's so big. Welcome to an elite club called All the Heroes of the Bible at the same deal. You've just been invited into the elite club of heroes that God wants to use for the kingdom. So don't be scared of it. But find someone else that you can talk to about it and go on that journey. And they'll encourage you to keep listening, because there's no other adventure worth walking on this whole planet in our whole life than to listen to the voice of God and to do what He says. Father, I pronounce blessing over this church. God, upon the leadership of this church. God, upon every single person here. God, the business people, those who are facing, God, those challenges right now, whatever you're about to roll out, or God, what you have already rolled out, God, into this church. God, I pray for a strength and a courage. God, a courage, a faith. God, a gift of courage and a gift of faith. God, to listen to your voice and then to do what you're asking this church to do. That you would be glorified, that you would be honored, that you would be exalted. And God, that people would come from all, God, areas into the kingdom of God because of a group of people who are willing to listen to your voice and to actually do what you're asking them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Fantastic message. Let's make sure that we make that reality for us. What do we listen to? One of the things that Mark talked about was planning a church. He said Glenorchy, and who knows what's going to happen in the future, but we are in the process, and Mark probably doesn't know this, we are in the process of planning a service at New Norfolk, and someone's excited about that. What I can share with you as a church, and you've probably heard this, but we have now got a youth centre up there that is up and running, a building that we've been renovating that's functioning. We've got youth workers in the community up there. We've got a youth ministry that's actually running every Friday night now. We've had two kids in church last week from up there that gave their hearts to Jesus here in church. So things are starting. It's moving ahead, and you know, the next step is actually moving towards services there, which, once again, it's that step out, it's that going somewhere, it's taking a risk, it's, you know, it's all those things where God's going to start to talk to people. So let's keep praying, let's keep believing, and the journey is exciting and is fantastic. So as we finish today, as the band lead us, we're going to take up a generous offering for Youth Alive. Is we believe in the young people of our state. We believe that did you know that most people that walk their life, that finish well with Jesus, actually come to a relationship with Him. I'm not sure what the age is. It's probably before they're 20. There is something.